question as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson are here to take your calls. Gordon DL's birthday plans mean he's left us. That's honestly what sort of show are we running in here? Anyway, 01419511025. And looking for your reaction to today's games. I'll do a recap of the full time scores just in case you missed any, and to whet your appetite. But Celtic fans, how do you feel after the 3-1 win? Of course, the victory is all the priority today, going top of the table. How did the performance match up? Who impressed you? Who maybe didn't impress you? How does this leave things in the title race? Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans, you served up an absolute treat for the neutral and for Kilmarnock fans. Not such a treat for St Mirren, who are 2-0 up at the break and lost 5-2. But both of you, get in touch and let us know how you feel after that, because it was quite something. 01419511025. Right, this is the full time picture. Whilst you get your calls in, and please do right now, especially see if you're, I love this bit on a Saturday, because you're getting in the car or the bus or the train or whatever after the game, and we get that raw eyewitness reaction to it all. So give us a call. Anyway, Celtic 3, St Johnstone 1, Hibs 3, Livingston 0, Kilmarnock 5, St Mirren 2, Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 1, and Ross County 2, Hearts 1. In the Championship, Airdrie 5, Arbroath 2, Inverness 1, Ayr United 2, Partick Thistle 2, Morton 1, Queen's Park 0, Raith Rovers 0. And in League 1, Edinburgh City 2, Alloa 5, Hamilton Accies 3, Stirling Albion 0, Kelty Hearts 0, Cove Rangers 1, Montrose 1, Annan 1. In League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 1, Clyde 2, Forfar 1, Stenhouse Muir 1, Peterhead 1, East Fife 1, Stranraer 1, Elgin 2, and the Spartans 2, Dumbarton 6. The English Premier League is your thing. Burnley 2, Brentford 1, Luton 1, Forest 1. Right, come on. 01419511025. Quite a day, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, Celtic back on top. And now, for the last time, you'll be able to see what influence, if any, Europe has had on the legs of the Rangers players when they go to Dundee tomorrow. Because after that game, it's international break and everyone comes back with a level playing field. A 2-week break from domestic football, no European football between now and the end of the season, and the remainder of the Championship becomes terrifically interesting. So it depends now tomorrow, will Europe have any effect on Rangers? Celtic have done their bit, they have won. It didn't need to be fantastic to look at, it just had to be 3 points. And after a faltering start, Celtic got there with a bit to spare.
We'll get on to the specifics, Mark, as a very general overview. What did you make of the Celtic afternoon?
Well, a good one, because you look at the scoreline, comfortable, disappointing that they lost a goal, but plenty of chances created. Kyogo back in the score sheet, so Brendan Rodgers, I think, will be satisfied, and especially to go top of the league. And now the pressure switches to Rangers, because in the past, or this season, it has been on Celtic to respond. Sometimes they've not dealt with it properly. Now it's on to Rangers. Can they go to Dens Park and get a result to get back to the top of the table? And I believe that's going to be the way. It's going to be from now to the end of the season. And then when you look further down the league, movement, you know, everywhere. Kilmarnock leapfrogging St Mirren, Aberdeen above St Johnstone. It's been a good day of football with a lot of goals.
01419511025. Let's bring in Michael from Burnside. How are you, Michael?
I'm good, thanks. How's yourself, guys?
Not bad, not bad. What did you make of that 3-1 win then?
Yeah, it was pretty routine, I think. I think the first half we created a lot of chances. I wouldn't say wasteful, but I just sort of, we were just on top. St Johnstone didn't offer much. Just sort of, it was quite just routine,
just,
I think.
Just comfortable.
What it should be, I think.
Is that kind of, I mean, maybe the type of result and performance that the league table would dictate, Hugh? You know, just there wasn't much fuss. Yes, Celtic conceded, but they were 3-0 up. And
yeah, I mean, to be fair to Celtic, they've scored 3 and could have been 6 or 7. The VAR decisions gone out against them. The bar saved St Johnstone on another occasion, and the goalkeeper has defied them. So it could have been 6 or 7-1. The only importance of the day was going top of the league and seeing if Rangers suffer at all post Benfica.
Is it somewhere in the middle though, Mark? Because I've got visions of, you know, if that's a 1-0 and it's a bit scrappier than that, I still feel like we would have had Celtic fans on right now going, no, this is still a worrying sign.
But without doubt,
as Michael's pointing out, it was a bit more, it was more routine than that. So is the truth maybe somewhere in between? It was just about 3 points.
Yeah, well, like I said at the start of the show, people going along to Celtic Park will want the full package. They want a result. They want their goal scorers to score. They want a performance. They want Carter Vickers to look solid. And I don't think it was sparkling vintage Celtic, but within that they did create a lot of chances. They had 3 goals chalked off, and as Hugh said, they had the bar, they had other numerous opportunities. But you wouldn't say, oh, it's their best performance this season. So far from it. So 3 points, Kyogo on the score sheet, couldn't get another assist and a goal within that as well. So all in all, a good afternoon. But you're right, if that's 1-0, the Celtic fans are saying, oh, it's a hard watch, and these games coming up, I'm not very optimistic about it. Maybe it's a wee bit different.
How important, Michael, for a couple of the guys that Mark mentioned there? So Kyogo, because he's been in and out the team, but he started and he scored. And then Nicholas Kuhn, you know, a lot of stick for him, but he was heavily involved as well.
Yeah, I think Kuhn just needed a bit of time to settle. I think they were very quick just to sort of jump in the bandwagon quickly and just say, oh, he's not good enough or whatever else. We don't give players time, and I suppose that's the nature of it. But I think it definitely seems this week, last week, definitely turned onto a game. And with Kyogo, I think he's always made those runs. I just think he sort of hasn't had the supply that he had last year. It's a completely different style that we play, obviously, under Rodgers compared to last season, the season before. I think he's been making those runs, but the balls haven't been coming into him. And he's suffered, I think, because of the style. But the last few weeks, especially since the second half of the Motherwell game away, I think the balls have been coming out of the box more. We've been more direct, and the runs that he's been making, I think he's been found a lot more. So I think he's coming onto a game. And I think Ida's obviously helped as well, because he's banging in goals and he's getting a game. So he's obviously had to up his game. So I'm quite happy with that. I do literally one wee point.
Go
was we're 3-1 up, and Johnson goes through. We've not seen the lines yet, so you can't definitively say it's offside. But from where I was sitting, it certainly looked onside. And see what I've seen again on social, I hate saying it, but on social media, since the stills and stuff like that, he's a good 3 yards onside when he receives the ball. Now, I can't for the life of me see how that's been given as offside. And see, when the league is as tight as it is, with goal difference could come into play with it at the end of the year, these things have got to be cleared up straight away. We've still not seen the lines. The game finished, what, nearly half an hour ago. How have we still not seen the lines for those goals? Like, it's got to be quicker, VAR, and we've got to have an understanding as to why things are happening and when they're happening. So just don't know what you think about that.
The boring bit, obviously, look, that game's not televised in the UK, as far as I'm aware. So, I mean, I know there are ways and means for people. I wouldn't care to get involved. So it's bound to be less televised, advertised, whatever. But that doesn't take away from the core of Michael's point. People do want that clarity, whether you're in the stadium, whether you're on watching at home or listening at home. You know, Fraser Wishart was telling us at Fir Park, Motherwell got a goal ruled out, and genuinely nobody could even imagine what it was for at the time. I wish I had something new to say about when it comes to offsides, Mark. To a lot of people, probably won't look offside, or people will say it's tight. That's why we brought the technology in, so that it can determine. Otherwise, they would just let people use their eyes. And
People and get caught up though, thinking that it would be the player that scored goal. It's offside. Maybe it was something that happened in the build up that could have been offside.
But
if
again,
it went
that's the
wide
point.
And back.
We need to know that then.
Of course. And you know what, I feel sorry for the fans. We're all about attracting supporters to the stadiums, getting crowds as high as we can. Attendance is really high, and Daz is always on about it. It's been good this year. But when you've got access to commentary, and certain broadcasters have got access to VR and can understand what they're chatting about, then they broadcast it, you can understand why fans would go, you know what, I'd rather just consume the game by watching on TV, because at least I know what's happening with all these stoppages. I can totally get with that. If you're in that stadium, and Motherwell's a prime example, and you're sitting going, yes, we're back in the game, what are they checking for again? A handball? Well, I didn't see a handball. Did you see it? And nobody's seen it. Of course it's going to drive you crazy.
In fairness, Hugh, this bit of it though is just like, well, football, it's not Scottish football. World football's made its bed and needs to lie in it with this stuff. If you pay the technology, and the technology provider tells you that it's reliable, and you trust that, and it's tested by FIFA and all that sort of stuff, you've just not got much choice really but to say, well, there you are, it was offside.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you get one of those proper procedural meltdowns that, like we saw in the English Premier League. But Michael won't be alone. Me, you, Mark, just, it's nice to see, nice to try and understand what's going on.
But you won't. Not now, not ever.
Well, no, but you, I mean, you should. When the highlights come on and stuff, you should. But
you have to.
Because it's not like a confusing, you know, loads of factors here. Who's offside? Where are the lines?
Well, the people, the referee and those in Clydesdale House have decided it's offside. Now, Michael and everyone else is left in the dark, and as we said earlier, a whole stadium at Motherwell were left in the dark over who did what. I stick to what I said earlier. Football was not meant to look and sound like this, but the decision to disallow the Alistair Johnson goal was arrived at after the proper procedures had taken place. It's just unfortunate that Michael and everyone else who had paid to get in will be left unaware of that.
Can it be simplified that if broadcasters get a feed to VAR, stadium announcers can also receive that feed, and it could be quite simple that they're listening offset or handball check, they're hearing handball check and Theo Bear. Can they then translate that to the supporters?
Okay, but that's a different example. If you're taking the handball, though, like some of this stuff would make a difference, but would that really? You know, if somebody says that, because I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter, they just don't think it was offside. They just don't think it looks offside. So,
Alistair Johnson. But what if it's an offside in something to build up?
Right, but still, they might not think that player looks offside.
No, of course.
Example.
But they know then, oh, my focus was on Johnson. Oh, it's not for Johnson. I didn't even think. 20 seconds before Johnson.
Who else could it be? I know Adam Ida was. Ida. But did he play any part though? Did it not just go over the top? Remind me, Michael, does it not just go over the top and Johnson volleys it in or smashes it in? Sorry.
It seemed to. Like, I think Ida is maybe offside, but he's got nothing to do with play. So the balls came through, it came over the top. Johnson's cut inside and rifle one right over the goalkeeper, and Ida's nowhere near when the balls came in. So if that's interfering with play, it's the game's completely gone. So I just think it needs to be quicker. It's got to be more precise, and I think just to clear up confusion, because you need to know. I would now rather watch a game of football at home, because you get commentary, you get told what's what. You don't want to celebrate goals anymore. I just think it just takes too long to come to actual decisions. And you're sitting there, you're like, oh, is it a goal, is it not a goal, is it offside? There's just not enough communication between VAR and us, and I feel sort of like it's taken away from the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Definitely when a goal comes in, it's sort of, do you celebrate, do you not celebrate? Players are exactly the same now, so I don't know,
the unfortunate bit about that though, Michael, is that not like the absolute core of VAR that's the issue here? You know, even if they were then able to provide you with a bit more communication or whatever, you still wouldn't be able to celebrate the goal. Do you know what I mean? If you're saying that's the issue for you, really, it's just the core concept of VAR that damages that.
Absolutely, I think it's you're right, and it's, I understand why it's brought in, and it's everywhere now. So it's, I think the technology is great, but the how it's put across, I just don't think it works, and that's my honest opinion on it. But I just think if in the stadium you're watching the game, it needs to be quicker, it's got to be faster, we've got to know why decisions have been made, and then I fair enough you can still disagree with it, but if you've seen lines that have drawn up, it's hard to argue against that, and it's hard to argue against if it's a handball, if it's offside or whatever else. But when they're not drawn up, you're left thinking, what is actually going on? So that's,
Michael, the thing is, you sound fair, but I'll pick you up on one statement. When you see the lines, it's hard to argue. People still do it. We've been doing it all season.
I know, but
you're too sensible, Michael. That's the thing. But anyway, thank you to Michael in Burnside. Let's take more of your calls after these.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Mark Wilson are here on 01419511025. That is the number you need. We're looking back on today's football. We've had calls in from Celtic Park, revolving around Celtic Park. The 3-1 win against St Johnston. Really want to hear the contrasting emotions between Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans. Please give us a call. And incidentally, we had a big debate and discussion about the Alistair Johnson disallowed goal. Celtic fan on saying it never looked offside, and we've not seen any lines. And then someone sent me a picture sort of showing that it looks like it was James Forrest in the build up. So when the ball's played initially, and as you say, Mark, maybe it's just that bit more explanation, because you go, oh well, alright, okay, so it wasn't Alistair Johnson that was offside, it's James Forrest, there's the lines, happy days, on we go. I'm not sure that convinces everybody, but the majority of people maybe.
I think it just clears it up a wee bit, because everybody's focused on the goal scorer, the last action before it hits the net. And when I've seen a couple of goals, I'm thinking Johnson's never offside there, but of course they take it all the way back. It's just something you don't quite spot at first.
There you are. I was going to say that clears that up.
No, it doesn't.
been around
the lines were
enough.
Monkey.
Let's bring in William, who's a Celtic fan. What did you make of it today, William?
Good evening, guys. How you doing? I'm probably nitpicking a wee bit, but I thought Celtic played really well today, and I thought the movement was good as well. You know, I'm just wondering what the guys think of the substitutions when he took Carter Vickers off and then put Awata in the back four. We lose a goal, and then he puts Lager Bielka on, and then moves Awata back into the midfield. I was just wondering what the guy's thinking at. I mean, why did he not just take Carter Vickers off and bring Lager Bielka on? It was just a bit strange, you know, and then we lost the goal through that. You know, I thought we were losing the guy. So he sort of took a guy out of midfield, put him at the back, and we've lost a goal there. You know, we've lost our impetus in the game, I thought.
I think
I think
the manager, as soon as St Johnson score, thinks to himself, I didn't do the right thing there. And he's quickly corrected his mistake, put Iwata back into the middle of the park, and brought on Lager Bielka, because if St Johnston were to go 3-2, then all of a sudden Celtic Park turns into an entirely different place. The initial change, I think, is significant, because he would rather put a midfield player at the back than bring on Lager Bielka, which tells you how far out the picture Lager Bielka. I know Navrotsky is apparently injured, but neither player has a future at Celtic, neither Navrotsky nor Lager Bielka. But at 3-1, Brendan Rodgers thinks, right, I've lost Carter Vickers. As soon as I lose Carter Vickers, they all go wobbly at the back. I've got a midfield player playing centre-back now. I'll put him back into midfield and bring on Lager Bielka, just to make sure that nothing silly starts to happen here. So I think he made a mistake, which he corrected.
Yeah, pretty much that. I think, you know, he wanted home to get on the pitch. And he probably thought that time, 3-0, easy street, Celtic would have loads of the ball and Awata starting the moves for the back. That's what you want. But like Hugh says, moments in games just change your thinking pretty quickly. So automatically it looks like Brendan Rodgers saying, oh, I've made a mistake with that change. It's rather, I need to manage the situation, the current situation now. And I'm better with a centre-back at centre back than a midfielder, because St Johnson might just be encouraged.
And ultimately,
to put the ball
as
in the
you
box.
Said, does it reflect on Gustav Lager Bielka and that he really would rather not use him? Or is it just like you said, they're trying to get.
I said it during the game,
maybe he just wants to bring those players further forward and doesn't want to make that change. But if Lager Bielka was in his thought process a bit more, or a bit closer to contention, it might have been a good opportunity to just bring
him
on. He's clearly miles off.
He probably didn't deserve it on merit to go on, because that's what it's got to be. You've got to merit, you know, playing for the club, and that's the starting 11. But even if you're not in the starting 11, then you've got to be shown in training that you merit coming off the bench. So when you see these guys sitting on the bench and not coming on, they're sitting on the bench for a reason. Now, it's different when the game changes and you've made a change and you've only got one centre-half in there against a physical St Johnson team. You then need to manage the situation yourself, and that's why Lager Bielka comes in through necessity, just to see the game.
The crucial thing here, and we don't know the answer, the state of Cameron Carter-Vickers' body at the moment, because he's clearly not 100% fit. Celtic, as Mark Wilson put it earlier on, are trying to manage him. But if he cannot be managed between now and the end of the season, it's very, very dangerous for Celtic, because Lager Bielka won't do it, Navrotsky won't do it, and the partnership of Scales and Welsh won't do it either, on the basis that Celtic need.
What about the big picture then, William? Top today, of course, Rangers have the chance to go back top tomorrow?
Aye, I think Celtic are actually playing quite well. You know, they started playing, even the Hearts blip, I think I would call it a blip, because of the, we hadn't lost a game for about 11, 12 games there. So I still think Celtic are strong. They're coming into the end of the business, end of the season. And I think if we can get these guys, I mean, you talk about Carter Vickers there, he didn't have a pre-season. So I think he's been struggling through that all season because he didn't have the pre-season, the same way with Johnson on the right. He's been struggling as well. So when you don't get that pre-season, I think you struggle the rest of the season to get up to fitness. And he's been in and out. I think he's missed about 17, 18 games this season, which isn't great, especially when he's your number one. But it was just, see when you're talking about, like, it was moving the water, really. Moving the water out of that position as well changed the structure, which is more my thinking, saying, why are you moving a water, changing that structure?
But that's what we're saying as well. Is it not just about wanting to get home on as well and not wanting to take any of this in, not wanting to make the other change, you know, just it allows you to just move Iwata, get home on the pitch.
Aye, well, you could have took O'Reilly off, you know. I mean, it's not a question I gave him. I mean, the game was won at that point, so I don't understand. I mean, we lost it. We were running 3-0 at that point, and then Carter Vickers goes off. We lose the goal, and then he fixes it. You know, I just think to myself, okay, it might be a wee bit of nitpicking, but taking Iwata out of that structure where he was playing in the middle of the park, the simple thing was just to bring Lagerbielke on and rest Carter Vickers because he's coming through to get to game practice, you know. That's the way I would have seen it, but obviously he's seen things different, you know. It's kind of strange, that was all.
All right, thank you very much to William on the line. Let's bring in Hugh, two Hughes for the price of one. This one's got Motherwell on his mind. How much of a disappointment was it today, Hugh?
Hi, how you doing? It was on the cards, because we do it as a team every single time. If a team needs a result, we give them it. Now, taking a performance last week, we took all the praise. Stuart Kettlewell and that Motherwell football team really need to take everything that goes against them today. Their performance, their attitude... I don't know what the tactics were today. Was we sat back, gave Aberdeen it. We made them look good. And they were absolutely shocking because they punted the ball at the back. Willie Collins' performance today, that a few strange decisions, was unbelievable. But our substitutions today, I physically can't understand them. Takes off two central defenders to put on a right back and a left back. Then brings off Jack Vale, who ran all the way through the game, putting pressure on to bring on young Wales, and I understand bringing on young players in development, but not in a game where you're chasing it, that they don't have any experience, they don't know what they're doing, because you can see it. But it was absolutely shocking today. Stephen O'Donnell caused that first goal. Liam Kelly gave him crap for it. He was over at halfway line. Stuart Gettlewell gave him crap for it, and he still comes out after the half-time win, and you think, well, what is he seeing that we're not as supporters, that we can see every single week? O'Donnell is finished. He's done. At our level, he is finished for that Premier League. And Willie Collum, please explain that final decision where possible handball in the box against Aberdeen for a penalty. He stops the game to listen to VAR. The decision's obviously no. Then he just blows the final whistle. But the game was going on at that point, and I can't fathom out. Now, maybe yous can, whether it was a handball or not. Need to watch a highlight. Yous are obviously a better view on that, just to see what you thought.
Yeah, I don't actually know too much about the last one, but let's go through a couple of them. On Jack Vale, because he's been really good, I think you'll agree, Hugh, and does do a lot of running. Do you think he does run his race, though? Because I've just... He always comes off at 70-something minutes. He doesn't finish 90. And I just wonder if he'd run himself into the ground, and that's why the change was made.
100% no, because he was still there. He was still running about. He had plenty of energy in him. You could see that. And I think when you actually seen him getting subbed, he even ran off the park, but he was disappointed, as if to say, why am I getting brought off? And 100% I agree with him. I couldn't fathom out. It brings Blaney off, who between Blaney and Casey were probably the two best players in the park for us today. It brings Blaney off. He thought, why? Because unless he's injured, that we never seen. I can maybe understand McGabby. I don't know whether McGabby took a knock in the first half and he's brought him off. But then he brings O'Donnell into centre-park, who he couldn't pass a ball 2 yards today, never mind 20 yards. He was wanting to be a Maradona and pass, make 70-yard passes, and it just wasn't happening. He needs dropped 100%.
Do you think the difficulty with that was that he played very well at Ibrox and Rangers in Motherwell's last win, which was a good win?
It was a good win, but you can't just go on your last performance. You've got
no, but you would do. I mean, if you were the manager, though, right? If you were looking, right, okay, what did we do well last time? Who needs dropped from last week? It just wasn't going to be Stephen O'Donnell, was it, after doing so well at Ibrox? That's what I mean.
I understand that, Gordon, but what I'm also saying is in the first 45 minutes he was honking. Do you just keep him on because of his performance last week?
No, but you said starting, you know, and dropped, you said. So I was talking about that. We weren't talking about the substitution. What about Mark Hughes? Very angry at Willie Collins' role in the game. Not really sure about right at the end, but the goal, the only goal that separates the sides. We've had the chance to look at it back. Theo Bear, it's ruled out for a handball by him in the build up. What do you make of it?
Well, I can't understand how Willie Collum can then go to the monitor and have a real good look at that and be so conclusive over it to say it doesn't stand. That is just not what VAR is, and not the way the game is. They've got to understand that there's got to be an element of, so what, natural, you know, elements to the game. And these things happen without it being deliberate and chopping off goals like that, because it was minimal contact in a position that wasn't outstretched. His arm was there to challenge. It was up. And
I mean, his arm is outstretched, but as you say, it's more because
it's on the back of the Aberdeen player,
like jostling with somebody.
So you cannot say that that's intentional in any way, or it's assisting in a goal. It doesn't fall then into his path and he puts it into the net. So this is where referees, I think, have to understand that element of football. Not the laws, not the rules that they're being told, but an element of football that's going to happen within games, that you can't just say, ah, that touched an arm, we're going to chalk that goal off. I thought it was a ridiculous decision this and was, hard done by.
This was Stuart Kettlewell's take on it, Hugh.
I did say this previously, so I'm being consistent. It's not just emotional because we've lost a game of football. I'm completely at a loss. And I have to say that the fourth official today was excellent in terms of the way that he speaks to the coaching staff. He knows it's an emotional game. He understands that we're going to get frustrated at time, and he tries to do it in a methodical way. But I also think he's one of our best officials as well. Matthew McDermott, I think he was excellent in how he conducts himself with the benches. But under the circumstances, when points are so valuable, we want to keep a run going, and to chalk off the first goal with the goal that we get through Lennon Miller, Bailey, a deflection, they come back and they have a look at it. We had a situation earlier in the season, and I've said this to Matthew at the side of the pitch, he wasn't the referee. We had a situation against Ross County where the ball's controlled quite clearly by the arm. You know, you can look through the archives and see this one. The hands above the head, player controls the ball, falls to him, he shifts it inside the pitch and it results in a goal. And we were told categorically, because it wasn't the goal scorer, that we don't look at that again. That's not a reason for chalking off the goal. If the referee's missed it, it's not a clear and obvious error. I was told that categorically, so I stand corrected when that happens. And this is where I'm very factual. I stand corrected. I don't talk about it again. But I now start talking about it again because Theo Bear's contesting a ball. The ball looks as if it's maybe come off his bicep, you know, just marginally come off his bicep, lands to Lennon Miller. And what we want to do now is we want to go and dissect it and look back on that and see that that's had an impact on the goal.
Well, clearly not happy. I do think there's a distinction. I can't even remember the Ross County one, but the way he's explained that there, I don't know if there's a breakdown in communication. Just because Theo Bear doesn't score the goal, that doesn't mean you wouldn't look at it again, because they're looking for any infringement in the build up to the goal. I think where the confusion comes in is if it hits the goal scorer's arm at all, by your side, tucked in, non-intentional, if it hits the goal scorer's hand at all, the goal doesn't stand. Mm-hmm. If it hits someone else's hand in the build up to the goal, it has to be deemed a handball offence, if you like. You're looking for the outstretched arm or the unnatural position. So it's not official. The way that Stuart Kettlewell's put it there, as far as my understanding is, it's not that they shouldn't look at a handball by Theo Bear. I don't think that's
the way it works.
But if
managers are unsure, and we'll get a fan on earlier on, they said they'd rather watch football on the telly now than be at the game, because you understand better what's going on. We've got on our hands an unfathomable game that wasn't meant to look like this.
Yeah, I do get that, but sometimes a bit of misinformation gets out there as well, which is not ideal, because I don't think that's the case. For me, the contention is, Is that a handball offence by Theo Bear? I think people are barking up the wrong tree by saying they shouldn't even be looking at Theo Bear's handball. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, just I was going to agree with you. Listen, I think VAR is right to highlight that because they're terrified that the ball's hit the hand. My problem is when Willie Colm goes over.
Sure, yeah. And looks is it a handball offence?
Yeah,
that's a valid argument.
That's my problem.
And this is where, with you, obviously.
This is where referees have got to understand. What I hate is the referees don't know the game and ex-players maybe in the VAR and telling them this and that and the next thing. But they've got to understand the dynamics of the game, situations, how they arise, how to manage that and how to be fair about it. And I don't think they are at the minute. And that decision backs it up for me.
Quickly, if you can, Hugh, because I'm a bit pushed for time. Are you now, is the top six dream taking a bit of a dent? Is it now back to looking over your shoulder with the combination of results today?
I've always thought we're going to be safe anyway. We're mid-table. I would forget the top six because there's a lot of rebuilding being done during the summer for us. So stick to mid-table. Yeah. Get to the end of the season and we'll deal with them.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to Hugh. It's a great time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hopefully going to hear from Brendan Rodgers very soon. Let's bring in Jack, who's a Kilmarnock fan. Jack, talk to me. How good was that today?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. I'm buzzing.
I mean, what about the contrast? What are you thinking at 2-0 down?
Well, you'd think I would be thinking we're going to get beat. But funnily enough, I stuck a tenner on Kelly to win.
Oh, hold on a minute. How much to win?
25-1.
Oh my! I mean, I'm contractually obliged to tell people to gamble responsibly, but you are in for a good Saturday night, Jack. Was that blind hope, or did you actually see a way back?
Blind hope. Who are Robbie?
I love that. We are so bad here. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a tenner on us winning the game.
I was actually hoping that Jack would say no. I could sense that we weren't two goals down. Really, we weren't that far out of it. But
they were, though. I think.
Yeah, yeah. Jack said they were hopeless. Which makes it even worse for St Mirren because they've then gone out and the roof's caved in. Now, for a team to lose five goals in the second half, two goal lead, totally unacceptable. Stephen Robinson will have gone off his head, and rightly so. The 2,500 fans, we all get a bit overexcited by it. Look at the job he's done. And today, all the good work's gone up in smoke.
What was the key to the turnaround, Jack?
Well, I thought we were going to make some changes at half-time, but we came out with the exact same team. And to be honest, I was thinking, oh, for God's sake, we've not made any subs. Then within 20 minutes, we've scored five goals. I don't actually know how we managed it.
What is that, Mark? Is that Derek McInnes sort of... You lot got yourselves into this mess, you get yourself out, and you've got 10 minutes to do so. Is that one of them? Do you sometimes go the opposite way when everybody's expecting changes?
Well, you'd have to imagine so. Unless Derek's changed the formation in any way, I don't know, Jack on the line might be able to tell us, but if it's the same personnel, more often than not, it's a rant from the manager, and sometimes it's short and sharp. Sometimes it's not a prolonged rant that takes 15 minutes. Sometimes it's a few stern words and I walk out the dressing room. I've been in the dressing room with Dale. I know how he operates. So there's no doubt he would have told his players what he expected in the second period. And that was a fast start. Now, they get the fast start, they get the goal, but then they get the penalty right away. So they've got something to build on. But when you've got those quality players in wide areas and you've got competent strikers who know where the back of the net is, once you get to... you've got a real chance at winning the game. However, I did say that they would go on and win, and stretchily, I didn't think they'd score five in the second period against a St Mirren side who had only lost 32 goals this season up until that point. So, brilliant performance, shows the good work's continuing at Killy. And again, their only real disappointment is getting out the cup last
Kept
week.
Kept his head. You know, they lose to Aberdeen last week, an Aberdeen team that can't beat anybody. And they contrived to lose 3-1 to them in the cup. Then he's two down at half time to St Mirren, but kept his head, put out the same team. And to say that he got his reward is an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, up to fourth, looking pretty good for that European push.
I've already booked up to go with Scotland to the Euro, so I need to get my money saved just in case Kelly get there too.
Listen, Jack, when Scotland win the Euros, it'll all be worth it. Thank you to Jack from Kilmarnock, a man who stuck a tenner on Kilmarnock when they were 2-0 down at half time. There we go. How do you think Stephen Robinson took it?
Very badly. I'm shell shocked, to be honest with you. It's quite it's very difficult to explain. You know, we're in total control. I thought we were excellent in the first half, and we said at half time the same again, and we need to do the same again. We started brightly, to be fair, and we should have been 3-0 up. Mika was onside, and from then they didn't change anything. We didn't bring any subs on. It was the same shape. I'd love to say it was a tactical change that, you know, caused us problems, but it wasn't. We didn't deal with balls hooked over the top, and the front two threw us about. You know, they bullied us. And as a collective, we didn't, you know, we didn't stop that momentum. They got their goal, we tried to say slow the game down, calm down, don't give them another opportunity. And you know, we spoke again as a collective, myself included, in the dressing room to say, you know, we've got to learn from that. And the momentum starts swinging the other way. How can we deal with that? And we didn't.
That first word probably sets the tone. There might have been anger and rage in the dressing room. But it's just shock more than anything from Stephen Robinson.
And he's been very honest. He's admitting that, you know, no subs by Kilmarnock at half time, kept the same shape, and then they turned the game around off their own back. And he's also admitting that the front two from Kilmarnock threw us about. So they weren't strong enough, mentally or physically. They've collapsed, and, you know, it didn't pause for breath there. That's a man that just won't get to sleep tonight.
That's a big one. Mental collapse, I think. You know, just been not being strong enough to deal with the onslaught and be tight enough just to say, okay, we've conceded two goals here, which, look, you might expect against Kilmarnock with the players Derek's got at the top end of the pitch, but then not being able to stop the rot, that comes down to your mental toughness. And it's not been visible a lot for St Mirren this season, but there's no doubt it was visible in that second half.
Stephen Robinson would be as well going up to St Andrews and joining the Dazzler in that caravan.
No. You don't want to be in that caravan with him.
No one should do that.
Just forget it was troubles and let the Dazzler drive him mad.
Less said about that, the better, I think. Thanks to Jack again, a man who's made financial gain out of Scottish football's madness today.
Going to the European trip. Put that in the kitty for the Scotland and St Mirren European Kelly away days.
That'll cover the home and away strip for the journey. 01419511025. Might be able to squeeze more in. What about Brendan Rodgers? Would you like his take on Celtic's 3-1 victory?
Very good. Really pleased. Three excellent goals. Players getting some minutes. Callum Carter-Vickers playing and coming back, and so really, really pleased for that. Overall, I thought from the start of the game there was a great feeling in the stadium with the crowd, and players started the game well, and I thought overall very good performance. Only downside was when I made all the changes, we just in our pressing, we went a little bit passive, and that gave them a little bit more time on the ball than what we would have wanted. But overall, we scored three goals. Lots of VAR decisions today, but that's also a compliment to the team, because we had so many aggressive moments in the game, so there's lots of parts of the game to be looked at in that aspect, and so that's a good sign from myself.
Lots of VAR decisions today, he said quietly without going any further, given that he's on a charge on the 28th of March.
To be fair, that made my ears prick up, but when he follows up with the next sentence, I think he means how often are you in those attacking areas that means there's a VAR decision to be made with offside. Again, because we've said it with offside, you can only complain so much, because unless you can prove something that Hawkeye can't, then, you know, it's hard to be too aggrieved at them.
The overriding concern for Brendan Rodgers was to finish top of the league, and I think his opening remark, three excellent goals, end of story. Scored three times, could have scored at least another three times, job done, and now be in front of the telly at 12 o'clock tomorrow to see how Dundee can do against Rangers. And when we all come back, we come back onto a level playing field. Players all rested. No Europe for anybody to complicate matters midweek. And it's then, as Mark said earlier about the Kilmarnock players and their mentality and the St Mirren players, it's then all about your mentality, because you are now between that rock and the hard place. Push has now arrived at shove.
Just got visions. The year is 2047, and James Forrest has added third goal for Celtic in a game against St.
He's an important guy in the running after the international break. He is an important guy because he is course and distance with this stuff. 17 years of doing it for Celtic, and where Bernardo or Holm or even O'Reilly or whoever might not have experienced this kind of finish. They've known Ange Postecoglou finishes, but this kind of finish where it's, you know, virtually neck and neck, you'll need a James Forrest for that.
You've got to say, he's scored more goals against St Johnstone than any other opponent in his career.
Yeah, he scored four against him one time.
That'll help. Anyway, it means that it's over to Rangers tomorrow. Can they take back top spot? Here's Philippe Clement.
So as a player, it's really difficult. And the older you become, I start to talk now like the really old people, the more incredible nice moments you have, but the more disappointments you have also, and disappointing moments. And you learn out of that. You learn also to switch faster. So that's now the challenge, to do it really fast. So I will look everybody in the eyes, and if I see somebody still with his head down, I will see that it's raised again and with the chest in front to be ready on Sunday.
And that's it, Hugh. Psychology Sundays. Yep. Back over to Rangers. What can they do tomorrow?
Well, people keep saying they look leggy. That was the cause of the defeat from Motherwell, allegedly. That was the cause of the defeat from Benfica, allegedly. Tomorrow, no allegedlies. Tomorrow is about reality. It doesn't matter what kind of state you're in. You have to get through those 90 minutes. If you don't, another twist and turn may have occurred in the championship race. Celtic have done their bit today. Rangers have to respond tomorrow.
We look at Dens as being a potentially testing venue, Mark. Dundee have earned that right. At the same time, Rangers went there under trying circumstances and won so convincingly earlier this season.
Yeah, but at this stage of the season, every game is difficult, and particularly coming off the back of a European game, facing a team I think who's won 3 or 4 in the bounce at Dens Park, it is going to present challenges for Rangers. But they've got a big squad. They may rotate one or two, but they'll understand the importance of 3 points tomorrow. Never mind the performance, 3 points is key.
The big games just keep coming thick and fast. It's been quite the Saturday in the Scottish Premiership. The headline is that Celtic go top. A 3-1 win against St Johnstone climbs Brendan Rodgers' side back to the summit. But of course, Rangers now have that game in hand. It takes place at Dundee tomorrow. Game of the day, result of the day, for the way it came about, has to be Kilmarnock 5, St Mirren 2. St Mirren led by 2-0 at the break, but what a comeback from Kilmarnock. Motherwell thought they were on a good run, Aberdeen on a dreadful run looking for a manager, and the Dons were the ones who take all 3 points away from Fir Park, that 1-0 victory. An easy day for Hibs, beating Livingston by 3-0, all scored in the first half, and Hearts have pretty much had third place sewn up for a while, but sign maybe that Ross County could make moves, beating the Jambos 2-1 in Dingwall. Whatever happens tomorrow, add that to today. We then look back on it all from 6 o'clock on Monday night, and the GBX is up next.